flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTelli along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. I tell everybody, a little after 7:20, we'll have on with us Jeff Nowak. We'll preview the Senior Bowl as, man, it's getting kicked off pretty strong over the next couple of days. And the practices are really the thing. The game is one thing.
Right.
The practice sessions is where you can make some money, big-time money, as a prospect going to the Senior Bowl. Also get Jeff's take on the coaching search for the Saints. Bobby?
And, you know, Mike, we got to hit on the draft. To me, that's going to be significant. We're going to turn things around in the immediate future or the next two or three seasons. That you have to grow through the draft and you have to make the right picks.
Yep.
And then what we did in 2017, I'm not saying you got to hit every year, but that's going to be a big part of what we're doing. Right now, if you look at the Saints in 2024, we finished with the 6th oldest roster. So we have to get young. They'll have a chance to get younger in the 2025 New Orleans draft. Now, we have 6 picks in the first 4 rounds. Think about this. Sitting, I don't know if we're going to keep them all, depending on who we're targeting, but 6 picks in the first 4 rounds of the NFL draft. 4 of those picks, which will be in the top 100 selections. So 4 in the top 100, so can you hit on those players? And the Saints had 5 top 100 picks in the last 2 drafts combined. So look, the last 2 drafts combined, we had 5 top 100 picks in the last 2 drafts combined. Well, right now, if you look at it, Mike, 4 of those in this draft are in the top 100 selection. So yeah, pick the right players. That's the moral of the story, I think.
Yes, and the more picks, the better. That's the way I look at it, because I do think with this roster.
Look at the Eagles quarterbacks.
Both of them starting. And you look at, you know, Hunt, who's the pass rush specialist, small college player, comes in there. He's made a big impact too. That's how you get better. You got to upgrade the talent issue on this team. And you're not one player away.
No,
okay?
No.
You got multiple positions where you need to get better. Offensive line, at tight end, at wide receiver.
It's every position, Mike.
Defensive line, linebacker,
even cornerback.
Safety. All across the board. So, yeah, it's great to have that, but I'd like more. to be honest with you. I'd like more picks than less.
Yeah, and you got to pick the right players. You got to hit on them. Kool-Aid, the jury's still out on him. But I thought
he played much better later in the year.
Right. I can't think of his name now, who blew out his knee from Stanford. The cornerback. You think we're going to pay him?
Paulson Adebo?
I don't know.
What is his market?
Market because he's a damaged goods or
because
hurt?
Now you're talking about had he stayed healthy.
No, that'd be a different thing.
It's a different world if you were healthy. Today, that's not the case for him. So you got to have some give and take there.
So, Mike, what do you think about this? Could be we can ask Jeb this or all the part of the Saints team. That there's a fine thin line. You always want to get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late. But I think we have rewarded some of our outstanding players based on what they did in the past, not so much what they're doing in the future.
Most teams don't do that.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest with you.
No, but you look, we got the aging stars, to say the least. Cam Jordan is going to be 36-year-old at the start of next season. DeMario Davis is 36. Taysom Hill's 35. Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, 33, and they're all on the contract for next season. Like, that's some old players, and they're getting paid handsomely. I think a good bang for your buck with Mathieu. I don't think so much. I'd say Taysom Hill also, but you have to look at his age. You probably, if you let him go, I know Sean Payton would give another shot in Denver.
I would think. But, I think there could be a pretty big line for Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
It wouldn't just be one.
Let me tell you one thing I know about players. And, you know, you don't necessarily want change, even though change might be in your best interest, because you get comfortable in your settings. But unless you're truly winning at the highest level, you might need to be uncomfortable. You know who was all on Coach Rizzi's side?
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara and Cam Jordan. Well, like, maybe you might have to be a little uneasy and somebody else coming in. If you've been well compensated, it doesn't matter. You got to respond to who's coaching you. I mean, I don't know, the old school, new school, however you view it. But that'll be interesting to see, like Cam Jordan, 36 years of age, and DeMario at 36. Mike, I played till I was 37. So when you look at that, and you're just not the same player, obviously, when you think about it. You're young in life overall, but... No, 37 compared 36 compared to 26. That's a
big difference.
Monumental, exactly.
Difference. Bob, I want to congratulate an old friend of ours from the Louisiana Line Camp, Brendan Daly. Brendan's been coaching at the Louisiana Line Camp. Pete Jenkins, Kevin Mawai, all those guys. But last year we had 11 NFL defensive coaches that were there helping. We over 700. We were pushing close to 800. High school players from across Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, across the country. Brandon is the run defensive coordinator, linebackers coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been a counselor there 18 years. He's going to coach in his 9th Super Bowl less than 2 weeks from now.
That is awesome.
5 with the Patriots. This will be his 4th with the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's living life right.
And so... He's got 6 Super Bowl rings right now. 6 winning ones.
Well, when he walks into a room, the proof's in the pudding. He got the skins on the wall.
And his connection, he didn't really want to leave New England, but because he was close friends with Steve Spagnuolo and his wife's family is in the Kansas City area, he decided to leave New England.
Well, that was the right move.
And go to Kansas City. And now... playing for another Super Bowl title. 9 Super Bowl games, and he's got 6 rings.
Well,
with a possibility of a 7th.
That's a small fraternity right there.
There's not a lot of guys with that hardware.
To have that. Now you have an opportunity. You take advantage of your opportunity. You roll the dice.
And he's a younger guy, he's got a chance to really move up in the coaching world. When we come back here on Second Guess, we have on with us Jeff Nowak, who is our Saints sideline reporter. And also, he'll be headed out to Mobile for all the practices, cranking up big tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, leading up to the Senior Bowl this coming Saturday in Mobile.
So, Mike, I have a question for you. Are they going to be doing interviews, Mickey and all, with coaches out there in the Senior Bowl?
I would say not.
Okay.
I would say that if they go into Philly, with Kellen Moore. The only interview maybe in Mobile would maybe be Mike McCarthy.
Okay, that makes sense.
We'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schler of the Visinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Until 8 o'clock tonight, we had the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, Saint Sideline Reporter also handles our everything online, videos, and everything posted sports-wise. Jeff Nowak will be on with us, and Jeff... Okay, Jeff, you're on with us. Jeff, you'll be heading down to Mobile tomorrow for the Senior Bowl. Before we get into Saints talk, I'll ask you a Senior Bowl question. Every year there's different strengths and weaknesses in a draft. And, you know, right off the bat, running back, I think it's a pretty strong year there. Tight ends, not as good as 2 years ago, but it's pretty close. Last year, offensive linemen. Man, and they really were top-heavy there. That was a ton of them, really good ones. This year, it is defensive linemen, and that is what's going to get showcased in Mobile. And in my top 75, I've got 21 defensive linemen. Basically wow. A third of the top 75 are defensive linemen. And I think when you're going to get there, that's going to be the talk. And I'll never forget, we're doing – LSU pregame, and every time I do the scout's notebook, and then Herb Tyler would tell me, Mike, how many damn defensive linemen LSU got to play that's going to the NFL? I was like, dude, it's almost every week they're playing at least two guys that has a shot to play at the NFL level. I think you're going to see that in Mobile.
No, and this is also, you know, the first chance for people to actually get measurements that are believable. You know, that's always the interesting thing when guys shrink. A lot of LSU players tend to shrink when they get to the combine. One guy who didn't shrink is definitely someone I want to keep an eye on, Deion Walker out of Kentucky. He measured in at 6'7", 340, a defensive tackle. But, yeah, no, it's always – the trenches are always interesting because, you know, you go to the combine and you see these guys run around. You don't really see them do a lot of drill work. And I feel like that's always where the Senior Bowl and some of these, you know, all these other, you know, all-star events are really valuable because you get to see guys actually competing. And, you know, when you're getting whipped at the Senior Bowl, people see that. When you're winning at the Senior Bowl, people see that. It's on tape. So, no, I agree with you. Like, it's a really deep class. I think there's some intriguing offensive linemen. I don't know if there's the top-end offensive linemen that you might have seen last year with the Fuaga and some of these other guys. But I think there's some really interesting day two picks. And, you know, you mentioned a couple in your, you know, when you put up that watch list this morning with about 12 names, a couple offensive linemen that are really intriguing, right? A kid out of Missouri, Membo. Am I saying his name right? You would know, Mike.
And the thing with him is I still think he can play tackle at the NFL level. Now, a lot of people wanted to kick him inside the guard. I still believe he plays tackle, but it's the young man from Oregon and Josh Connerly. I think that's the guy that might make that move because a year ago at this time, people were looking at Fuaga, you know, anywhere from 18 to 22. Look what he did after he got out of the Senior Bowl. Now he's being talked about as a top 10 or top 12, top 13 pick in the draft. I think he's got that opportunity to make that move this week. And I think the young man from Missouri, too. Because it's not as many, say, top-heavy guys. Will Campbell, I think, is the one guy that I think will be a top 10 or 11 pick from the offensive line.
Right, and that's unusual, right? You look at last year's draft, and you had all these offensive linemen, you had all these quarterbacks. It's really not going to be the case this year. And, you know, Armand Membo, I believe his name is. He also mentioned Jonas Savignat or Arizona. You know, he's intriguing as well. You know, Jordan Morgan from last year is probably going to be helpful for him in terms of, hey, this ends up, Arizona's becoming kind of an offensive line pipeline. But, you know, the guy I'm, and I know I'm kind of all over the map here, but one of the guys I'm really interested to see again is Jack Besh. Obviously, he was at LSU. I think he was being misused at LSU. He kind of got there a couple years too late for the kind of the wide receiver U, and they tried to use him as a tight end. I don't know if it ever really worked with how they were using him. He was still productive. I was still really impressed. He goes to TCU, has a 1,000-yard season. It doesn't ring too dissimilarly to Trey Palmer, who transferred from LSU, went to Nebraska. I wanted to say Northwest. I'm like, that's not right. And then, you know, obviously he's having a really successful pro career, obviously dealing with some injuries this year, but over with the Bucs. So I'm interested in what he can put out there.
Reminds me a lot of Puka Nacua. They built almost the same and athletically got a lot of the same traits. Now, at LSU, they used him a lot in the slot, almost like a hybrid tight end wideout. But he reminds me physically a lot of Puka Nacua. Bob, you have a question for me?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, to me, I don't know how you deal with the salary cap. How do you get your team better? That I think, you know, you look at the history of the Saints. I'm looking at Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, 21st century. So let's say the past dozen years plus, 16, 17 years, I mean, we have to get younger. We have a chance to get younger in 2025. We have 6 picks in the first 4 rounds of the NFL draft because, you know, look at last year. We have the 6 oldest roster, but 4 of those picks in the top 100 selections. I would say instead of trying to package that, I'd say how about you hit on those 4 top 100 players that can contribute from the get-go? To me, that's how we're going to turn it around and maybe go from, I don't know, you got to have some luck. Look, Jane Daniels, look what he did with Washington. But it's going to be a challenge to go from 5 wins to all of a sudden to get to 10 wins where you got to win double digits to get to the postseason. But that's what it's going to take. So that's why I think this draft is so important.
No, and you got to improve in the draft, right? You know, I kind of dove into this a couple weeks ago in terms of, you know, in my opinion, you should be trying to pull at least 3 starters out of every draft. If you're not, you're failing in terms of you are below the standard that you should be hoping for. You should be hoping to get at least 1 star player out of every draft. I don't think the Saints have done that. I mean, if you look at 2016 to 2017, I would say they pulled 10 starters out of those 2 drafts. And it was, I mean, I don't think that's even that controversial to take. The starters were mostly star players. And then the 5 drafts after that, by my count, you had 11 starters, and some of those included, like, Adam Trautman, right, and Traquan Smith, guys that no one would look at and be like, oh, well, they're the reason that we're not successful. They're gone, right? And then you had players that you probably could have had success with that are now, you know, either playing in the Super Bowl or playing somewhere else. So it's been a problem. And, you know, I kind of look at it as I don't know if the issue is so much the Saints have too many old players because the – older players are actually the ones that have been the more consistent players. Like, I don't think anyone's looking at DeMario Davis and saying, he's the reason this team is struggling. I look at it and say, the Saints have a young player problem, where the young players you've brought in, have not been good enough, or at least not played at a level enough, to supplant the veterans, right? Like, I would love to say, hey, there's a safety out there that's pushing Tyrann Mathieu off the field. The fact is, that's just not the case. Maybe Zach Bond had the skill set to potentially take over for DeMario Davis, but you're not taking DeMario off the field in that scenario. So I agree with you. I don't see a way back to, you know, consistent contention, right? Consistently winning 10 plus games, getting into the NFC South. You know, if you get great injury luck 1 year and, you know, like, I still think they could have won 8-9 games this year if they had good injury luck. They had terrible injury luck and you won 5 games, but to get that depth back, that quality depth back, where you have injuries and the guys stepping in are actually winning a role, you have to draft well. And that's kind of what I point to. We saw a lot of young players get on the field for the Saints this season, other than maybe like a Rico Payton. I don't know if you can point to guys that maybe a Taliese Fuaga, who you knew was going to be a starter and you needed to be a starter to begin with. I don't know if you can point to guys who got extended playing time as young players and actually improved their stock from where you had them going into the season. Like a guy like Jordan Howden had a really great opportunity this year to step forward. I don't know if he did that. A guy like Kool-Aid, you know, obviously he's a rookie, you're developing. I don't think he did anything to make anyone think, oh, he's the guy for the future. You'd hope he is. But I just think that's been the issue, is you have not had young players step into key roles and deliver. And, you know, when you were having success, right, you know, you threw Marshawn Lattimore into the fire as a rookie and he was a star, right? Alvin Kamara, same thing. Like, you're just not finding those players in the draft. And I think you have to really kind of go back to the studs and figure out what's been going wrong. Injuries haven't helped. I think there's a lot of bad luck there, but you do have to dig in pretty deep, because if you can't fix that, I don't see how you can turn this thing around anytime soon.
Now, Jeff, we're looking at the coaching search, and obviously the Saints, you know, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. The Saints are the only one right now without a head coach. I want you to take on this. And this is why I'm kind of a McCarthy fan. You might say, well, he's old. I don't know. He's 61. Is that old? I look at Pete Carroll and the Raiders and Tom Brady going in that direction. I think he's 73. So I look, with the exception of the 2019 season, Mike McCarthy, who is 61, has been an NFL head coach in some capacity since 2006. That's like when Sean Payton came to the Saints. And he's been highly successful in both of his previous stops. You just look at the Packers and then what he did at Dallas overall. And the question I have for you, and there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, because you look at Aaron Glenn, never been a head coach, and now he's a hot commodity. He's with the Jets. You look at Ben Johnson, now the head coach with the Chicago Bears.
Coleman now with Jacksonville.
Yeah, so but I look at, and right now, of all the coaches the Saints are known to have interest in, it seems like it's just McCarthy and Kingsbury are the only ones with previous head coaching experience. Because you look at Kellen Moore, no, outstanding offensive coordinator. Look what he's done now with the Eagles in Dallas, 4 out of 6 seasons. But what's your take on that, a coordinator versus past head coaching experience? Because I don't think Kingsbury, for instance, would be a good fit with Derek Carr.
Now,
Kyler Murray and Jane Daniels, those type players, that's a different animal. Or even Caleb Williams, you know, that.
I think he would be better with Spencer Rattler.
Yes.
Than he would be with Derek Carr.
But what's your take on that, Jeff, versus like a coordinator or like even a Rizzi type player versus a coach versus a previous head coach with that experience?
Hey, I mean, Rizzi has 8 games of head coaching experience. Doesn't that count? I'm joking, but. No, it is kind of strange. The strange thing to me is that the timeline with Mike McCarthy, you don't have anything reported as scheduled yet. It just seems odd. There was plenty of time over the weekend. It's not like he was, you know, he's unemployed, right? Like, he should have time. It kind of strikes me as, and this is just me kind of musing. If I take the interview, I'm getting the job. Like, I don't think that he's interested in being passed over for a job at this point. And that's why I wonder if maybe that's why the schedule is what it is, and they're interviewing Kellen Moore now. They're out in Philadelphia doing that interview, which is interesting in terms of the timeline. Obviously, he's going to be down here next week for the Super Bowl, but I'm sure they wanted to get that in as early as they could after the NFC Championship. It's interesting, and you have options, and you can go with the safer hire, which I would say that a Mike McCarthy would be a safer hire. But if you're hiring Mike McCarthy, I do feel like there would be some level of accountability of like, hey, we are going to go try to win this thing. Like, are you hiring a 61-year-old head coach in year 18 and saying, no, this is going to be a slow rebuild? I don't know. And the Raiders are going to have to answer that question with Pete Carroll as well, but they have a lot more leeway with how they can manage the cap. I think a lot of people kind of just want change, and change isn't always for the better. Sometimes change is for the worse. But I do think that, from the perspective of, hey, if we're going to rebuild this thing, I'd much rather rebuild it in a direction that's fresh and new. And so that's why I would err toward a Kellen Moore or, you know, one of these other guys. But it's tough. And I know everyone's kind of, well, it feels like we've interviewed them months ago in terms of Mike Kafka, Anthony Weaver. You know, I don't think we should dismiss them out of hand either. You know, Mike Kafka is kind of intriguing. It was reported that he'd bring Wake Martindale along as his defensive coordinator, and that's a good sales pitch to me. I find that really intriguing because I think Wake Martindale is a heck of a defensive coordinator, and that's going to be a big question to answer with whoever you hire as head coach. Who are their coordinators going to be, right? Because at the end of the day, you need all of this to work together, and if you can get that, then I think you can figure that out. And you know, the fascinating thing with Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy is Kellen Moore was actually fired by Mike McCarthy like 2 years ago. Went up to Philadelphia.
I'm taking over the play call. Kellen, go find you another job.
And then Jeff, what was crazy about it, that's why I think, Alvin Kamara, Cam Jordan, they're all on Coach Rizzi's side. But then I think Coach Rizzi was a fan of a Kubiak. But now Kubiak is going to Seattle.
No, but Kubiak got to worry about Kubiak.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm thinking that maybe not so much of Coach Rizzi because of that. And then, I don't know, what's your take? I think Dennis Allen's going to do an outstanding job as the Bears defensive coordinator. I mean, I just think he's going to have success.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, Jeff? I don't know. I just think he will.
One thing that Chris Jones said after last night's game is, like, y'all are letting us win because you're not hiring Steve Spagnuolo and getting him off of our defense. And I kind of feel like that is a secret weapon for some of these teams of, When you hire that star defensive coordinator, and I do believe Dennis Allen is a star defensive coordinator, who you are not worried about getting poached, and he's not going to get poached for a head coaching job, and you can build over a long period of time. You have the star offensive guy with Ben Johnson, and you have that long-term lease on a guy like Dennis Allen. I think you're set up for success. So I agree. I think that team is exactly where they want to be. They got the quarterback. They got the offense. They got the defense. I'm worried about the Bears in the NFC.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is Ben Johnson's not going to tell him nothing. Ben's an offensive coach.
Exactly.
Dennis Allen's going to run that defense in Chicago. Okay, because Bob says it all the time, and it's true. I never forget Richie Pettibone telling me this. Man, he was like, I was with the old Washington Redskins. Joe Gibbs was an unbelievable coach. You know how many times I saw him in a meeting? Once.
On the defensive meeting. He's running the offense.
I ran the defense.
Yeah.
Joe ran the offense.
Yeah.
And he said a lot of people, they don't quite get it. They think the head coach is coaching everybody.
No.
And that's not the case at all.
Hours in the day.
No. You can't handle all that.
No, you got to delegate authority, and you have to have the trust factor. And look at Andy Reid and Spag. So look at that. You can't have the ultimate trust factor. I mean, when you think about that.
Well, Andy ain't telling Spags what to call.
Well, and then you could look at Philadelphia coach
Sirianni. What is his strength?
He ain't telling Kellen Moore or Vic Fangio what to do. He might give the pep talk to the team or like kind of a game plan, or like they might ask, what do you think, coach? Are we going to go for it on fourth down? And he might say, I don't know, do what you think's right.
Kellen, make that call on fourth down.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's why, you know, Dan Campbell.
Like what Dan Quinn does with Cliff Kingsbury.
Nothing. He's a defensive coach.
He's not telling him what to do.
That's why he didn't tell Shanahan what to do in the Super Bowl when they should have ran the ball when they were up 28-3.
But when you're the boss, you got to do
that. No, that's when he should have said, no, we're not worried about just crushing the Patriots. How about we just win the game instead? The Patriots wouldn't have had enough time to come back. Yeah. But Jeff, how about this rumor? Is it just a clickbait or something about Derek Carr potentially removing him to the Giants? What's your take on that?
Come on.
Well, my take on that is if the Giants want to make that trade, then that's on the Giants. I think that's really what it is. The Giants are trying to figure out who their quarterback is. And if I'm the Giants, I actually don't hate that idea. I don't think it has anything to do with the Saints in terms of they're not shopping him. But if the Giants come in with an offer, I'm listening, because the only way I'm moving off Derek Carr probably this offseason is if I can make sure that someone's eating that $10 million signing bonus. And that's what trading Derek Carr would do. There's an offset clause in that contract that if he gets signed somewhere else, that would happen as well. But you can't guarantee that in terms of it happening in time to actually help your salary cap. So, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy idea for it to happen, considering where the Giants are with their offensive line and a star wide receiver and no quarterback. But I don't think it's anything the Saints are currently pushing for.
I think in Giants, I wouldn't be surprised the next guy to take that snap under center is going to be a guy by the name of Shedeur Sanders. I got a feeling you can't sell Derek Carr in New Orleans. I mean, in New York. You're not going to be able to do that. But Shadeer Sanders, that's another story on that. Jeff, we'll let you go, and I know tomorrow all eyes will be on two guys in particular. Jalen Milroe from Alabama, Jackson Dart, Ole Miss. And the most critical position out on the field, and I know Bobby J would agree with that, at quarterback, those two guys maybe have the most to gain than any other two players in Mobile.
Yeah, but
I agree. Yep.
Yeah, I definitely go with that. And and you know what's coming up, Jeff? Do you have any? What do you think? Like upsets or who could win? You know, like look MVP, look a rookie of the year,
man, outstanding, Jayden,
outstanding the defensive player. But no, you know what's going to be amazing? And think about where Pat Mahomes is at MVP, because you look at the season, he ain't up for that. But who's the MVP when it comes? Josh Allen. I think Lamar might win the award. But think about Josh Allen. He could beat Pat Mahomes in the regular season, but not know.
Hey, my thing is, I'd give that to Saquon. Saquon Barkley would be my MVP.
I'll tell you who should win the award. It should be Saquon Barkley. The problem is MVP is a quarterback award.
Yeah, they'll probably give Saquon the best offensive player award like they did to Michael Thomas.
I agree. Yeah. But it should be Saquon for what he's done. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow, bud. Appreciate it.
Sure, y'all. Have a good one.
All right, Jeff. Jeff Nowak, who takes care of all our digital media stuff here, sports-wise, for the Big 870. Also, Saints sideline reporter, be covering the Senior Bowl, and we'll have him on all week long giving us kind of the breakdown of what's happening at the Senior Bowl.
Mike, how in the hell LSU didn't win? Now, look at this more. Okay, now.
Why you want to ask me that with a bad defense?
No, okay. Offensive rookie of the year. Okay, Commanders quarterback, Jane Daniels. Giants receiver, Malik Nabers. 109 catches, 1,204 yards, 7 touchdowns. How about Jaguars receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., 87 catches, 1,282 yards, 10 touchdowns. Look at that. It's an LSU award. Offensive rookie of the year.
You can finish 1-2. Brock Bowers got to be involved.
Yeah, Brock Bowers, the tight end of the Raiders, is up there. But, Mike, and then Bo Nix, what he did with the Broncos. But other than that, it's an LSU award.
That's right. We'll be back with more Second Guest right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTell, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, we were talking about the MVP race and Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley. And I agree with you. I think Saquon's going to win Offensive Player of the Year, and it'll come down between Lamar and Josh Allen. Now, I think a lot of people might say, well, Lamar had great success, but didn't he have Derrick Henry?
No, and that's why he got better numbers. I truly believe that.
And that helped. As you always say, less of Drew was better.
More.
Because of the fact that you could run the ball, I think it really helped Lamar out this year with Derrick Henry. Same way, not maybe to the same extent, James Cook, of what he means to the Buffalo Bills.
Well,
that's
why Coach Brady messed up not giving the ball more to James Cook.
I don't get
that. He had 85 yards rushing. No, Mike. He didn't call a good game against the Chiefs to win that.
In the second half especially.
Did you see on that option pitch how James Cook did not go down on that fourth down? His elbow didn't hit, and he put his hand out. He crossed that ball. That was an outstanding run. I mean, they both benefited from outstanding running backs. The only reason why I think we got, Chiefs fatigue, we got Lamar Jackson fatigue.
And I think for some people that is accurate.
Mike, because look, he's threw a career high right under 4,200 yards passing, 41 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. His quarterback rating was right under 120, 119.6, which led the NFL. He was first-team All-Pro for the third time. He also ran for 915 yards, 4 touchdowns. Okay, then what did Josh Allen do? Okay, Josh Allen, he threw for 3,700 yards, 28 touchdowns compared to Labar's 41. Okay, now you might say the supporting cast, but he had 6 interceptions. Lamar had 4. His quarterback rating was 101.5 versus 119.5. He ran for 531 yards. Now, he did have 12 touchdown runs, but he ran for 531 yards. Lamar ran for almost 1,000. So if you just go by, you know, the
just numbers, it's Lamar.
And the thing is, what Lamar has done, when you look at the numbers, when he's won MVP before, he's actually better this year than when he won MVP two previous seasons.
I think the closest race, and I think this will be razor thin too. Other thing will be on the defensive player of the year, because you can make a strong argument.
Saints players are involved, ex-Saints players.
Zach Bond. T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt.
Miles Garrett.
Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson led the NFL with 17 and a half sacks. You look at Miles Garrett. He's the reigning defensive player of the year. He had 14 sacks for the Browns. Look at Zach Bond. He went from mostly a special teams guy with the Saints to all of a sudden he's all pro in his first season. What the hell? Are we not coaching him or something? That to me is mind-boggling. And you look at Trey Hendrickson, that'd be a question to ask, Mickey Loomis and Dennis Allen in hindsight. Now, what the hell we're doing with those players, considering the level they're playing at? Sean Payton loves this. Patrick Surtain, the all-pro cornerback. I'm like, he allowed just 37 receptions. He had four picks, and his opposing quarterbacks, you know how you got to be hovering around 90 or 100? His opposing quarterbacks, their pass rating was 61. They did not have success thrown in his direction. And then, like you mentioned,
you talk about a shutdown corner, and it gets brought up a lot. He's legit.
He's number one.
He's a legit shutdown corner.
Now, not so much. The Redskins, or I should say the Commanders, wish they had him versus Lattimore. And all Lattimore wanted to do in the playoff game, pick a fight. No, and A.J. Brown, right? You saw that out-of-control situation? No, Lattimore has been a disappointment for Washington in that trade. Yeah. No, Mike, he might turn it around next year because he has the ability. But he kind of disappointed what he brought to the table for Washington.
One of the things we had Kelsey Nicole Nelson, who covers the Commanders, was he had such limited time in practice. Okay. You just can't flip it like a switch.
It's the NFL, yeah.
Man, listen, Dolly this ain't high school
Deion Sanders could flip it. That's one player that didn't have to practice, and he could flip it. I saw him in one game. Henry Ellard was like Pro Bowl, All-Pro, whatever. Henry Ellard with the Rams. I'm telling you, Deion didn't even have no equipment. He's playing baseball with the Braves. He comes to the locker room right before the game. They're just giving him his equipment. Henry Ellard caught like one pass for 14 yards. And he ain't even practice like covering.
Okay, but they ain't those type guys, one or two fingers in our lifetime that could do something
right,
like
no,
that.
No, that's why I tell you. But AJ Brown, how confident all that? They're like all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, the Lattimore, he's tough, he's all right, but he ain't gonna punk us. He ain't gonna punk us. I mean, the bottom line. And Lattimore is probably the greatest cornerback in Saints history.
Ain't no problem. He was the greatest. Yeah. And I think a lot of it, too. One thing with AJ, he spends a lot of time watching film. He saw what Mike Evans did him.
Yeah, get in his head.
And basically, he was trying to bait him into doing it because he knew he wasn't close to 100%. We'll be back to finish it off here on Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll have Jeff Nowak on with us tomorrow from Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl. Also, Mark Schlereth from about the NFL. And Scott Sidwell will be on with us. It's Buddy's Way, the movie on Buddy Tevens, which will be out on ESPN Wednesday. Well, he went to the premiere, and Scott will be on with us tomorrow to talk to us about the movie. Bob?
Well, Mike, looking at where we're at right now as a Saints team, as disappointing as the 5-12 record is the team's worst finish since 2005 when they went 3-13. So there's nowhere to go but up. I think that's where we're at. So that's what I'm hoping.
Tell them goodbye.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Who that?
Go Saints.